Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
All right, for our Bible study today, I want you to open up your Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians, chapter 5. And I'm going to share with you from God's Word today. We're back in Ephesians. We had our Easter service, and then we had our service 1 week later. So our Bible study is back in the book of Ephesians. Let me just remind us all, we have all kinds of people that are part of our North Central community, and all people are welcome here. Every race, every skin color. We come from different economic backgrounds. We live in different neighborhoods. Some are single and some are married. Some have been married for a long time and some just got married. Some have kids and some don't have kids. Many listening today are believers, but not all. But we're all listening today and we're watching today because we all need the gospel. The gospel has the power to put broken lives back together, and it helps us make sense of the things in life that we don't understand. Our Lord compels our church to share Jesus and make disciples who will in turn make other disciples. Because of that, our people get together. We're doing that by Zoom and other means right now. But we get together in one-on-one and in small groups. We do it on Sundays and other days of the week to intentionally make disciples. North Central is to take the gospel to all people as Jesus commanded his church. Jesus is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Jesus is, say it with me, wonderful. Well, we're in the book of Ephesians now, and if you remember the first three chapters in the book of Ephesians, we talked about it being called understanding the grace of God. Some have said this is what we learn where we are positionally in the family of God. Chapters 4, 5, and 6 are more practical, and so we have entitled that walking in the grace of God. So it was understanding the grace of God and walking in the grace of God. And today we're talking about walking in the grace of God in the home. As a matter of fact, the title of today's message is Grace in the Home. Can I tell you this? As a teenager, I heard that Jesus Christ wanted to have a difference in my life, and that included who I was going to marry. My pastor used to say to me, he would say that your home can be a little corner of heaven on earth. That was my pastor, Dr. Lindsay, when I was growing up. Can I tell you this? It's just coincidental, but 38 years ago, this coming Friday, Kelly and I walked the aisle at North Central Baptist Church, and we were married. We've been married for 38 years this coming Friday, and I can tell you that when Jesus is Lord, now when Calvin's Lord, there's no corner of heaven on earth, but when Jesus is Lord, your home can be a little corner of heaven on earth. And in our passage today, we're learning about how to have grace in the home. Let's face it, practically, we need to understand what the Bible says about the home, and so we're going to learn about this today in our passage. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 through 33. So I'm going to read these verses from my copy of God's Word. You follow along on the screen or from your Bible. Verse 22 says, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does his church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." Verse 31 says, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery," the Bible says, "but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, Let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. So I have had the privilege of doing a lot of weddings, and one of the joys is getting to do premarital counseling. There's a book that Gary Thomas wrote called Sacred Marriage. And the title is Sacred Marriage, but the subtitle is God Didn't Give You Marriage to Make You Happy, but to Make You Holy. And the truth is that marriage is the crucible of the home. The marriage relationship is the crucible of the home. And if we're going to walk in the grace of God like we're talking about, we've got to do it in the home. Can I tell you this? There are four things I want you to kind of have as handles in this text of Scripture. There are four things I hope you'll remember as we talk about this passage of Scripture. He reminds us, first of all, of lordship in the home. Now, I want to go back before our passage and remind us of verse 18, where Paul says to those in Ephesus, he says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit." The word filled, as we talked about several weeks ago, means to control. Who controls your life? The Bible says that we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That means that we are to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. It's not such an issue of do you have the Holy Spirit? The issue is does the Holy Spirit have you? And so, lordship in the home. And if you see in verse 21, right before our text, it says submitting to one another in the fear of God. That is one of the validations of being filled with the Spirit. Are we submitted to one another in the Spirit of Christ, in the way of Christ? That word, hupotasso, is a word that means to marshal. It's like you get your team together. And the Scripture is teaching us that when Jesus is the Lord of our lives, the Lord of our homes, then we are to marshal up and submit to one another. So there's mutual submission in all of the home relationships. And then it says we're to do that in the fear of God. That phrase is used 23 times in the Apostle Paul's writings. Christians are to submit to civil authorities, to church leaders, to parents, and to masters. And so there is mutual submission that takes place. Now, why do we need this submission? Why do we need the lordship of Christ in our life? I tell you the reason is because going all the way back to Genesis, Adam sinned and Eve sinned. And so from that time, men and women sinned. And because of sin, we need the lordship of Christ in our life. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, the Lord brought consequences because of their sin. Do you know in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, he was talking to the woman and he said this, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children." And then it says this, "Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." So part of what was prophesied that God said, this is what's going to happen, is that he said to the woman, he said, "Your desire will be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." You know what I've noticed in years of talking to couples? The temptation for the man is to be a dictator. He is to be dominant. It's something in his flesh, in his sinful nature, to be dominant. He either is dominant or he's passive. He won't take leadership. So he's either dominant like a dictator, or he's just like a puppy dog in the corner, and he will not take any spiritual leadership for his wife or for his home. But here's what happens to the woman. The woman is tempted to usurp authority over her husband. That is really what that passage in Genesis is saying. It said, but you will try to usurp that authority. And what happens in a woman's life, I've noticed in dealing with people these years, is that either they will usurp authority or they will just serve a passive husband and allow that passivity to go on and on and on. So we don't need this. If we're going to be a team, an exciting team in a marriage relationship, then the first thing that happens, we've got to be reminded of the lordship of Christ. But here's the second thing. Be reminded of a wife's cooperation. And verse 22 is a power-packed verse of Scripture. And the verse of Scripture says this, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Now, the word submission is very scary sometimes when we think about that. People really rebel against that word. But let me tell you what that word means. The best way I know to describe the word submission in Scripture is voluntary cooperation. The wife is to voluntarily cooperate with the husband. Now, we're going to find out what kind of husband she's supposed to have here in just a minute when I get to point three. But in point two, a wife is to voluntarily cooperate, and it says, as to the Lord. Well, that means because you are a believer. And then he gives a reason in verse 23. He says, for the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. So the husband is the head of the wife. In the marriage union, the husband holds that relationship. He is the head of the wife. But let me tell you this, it's a team effort. And nowhere in Scripture do you ever find there being any talk of a man being superior in terms of value at all. But there are different roles, and so a wife is to voluntarily cooperate. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the body. And in verse 24, it says this. It says, therefore, because of that example of Jesus Christ with the body of Christ, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. All right? And so we see that. He says, therefore, in other words, really he's saying, Christ is the Savior of the body. We know that the man is not the Savior of the wife, but nevertheless, or therefore, a wife is to be voluntarily cooperating with the leadership of her husband. And by the way, when it says be subject, that is the middle voice. You know, that's what makes it voluntary. It's a voluntary cooperation. It is the directive of the Lord for a wife to do that. But in the Lord sharing that, he says it is in the middle voice. In other words, you do that to yourself. You voluntarily cooperate with your husband in that way. So we see that we're reminded in this text about the lordship of Christ in the home. The second thing, we're reminded of the wife's voluntary cooperation, the leadership of her husband. But here's the third thing we see and reminded of, a husband's love in verses 25. And really we have about 7 or 8 verses here that shows that point, a husband's love. It's supposed to be a sacrificial love. Look at the scripture in verse 25. Husbands, love your wives. That is the word agape. That is the God kind of love. That is the word love that is used when Jesus Christ sacrificed himself on the cross for us as believers. It is agape love, like 1 John 4:8, where it says God is love. Like John 3:16 that says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, in this world in which this was written, church, listen to me. In this world in which this was written, this was a revolutionary concept. Because never before was the man in any kind of way in their culture, was the man challenged like Jesus Christ challenged men to love their wives in a sacrificial kind of love. And so in the passage, it says, love your wives. Husbands, in verse 25, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. Notice that's a feminine word there, gave himself up for her. So it was a sacrificial love. The Lord Jesus sacrificed it. But you know, it was also a sanctifying love. In verse 26, it says that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. The washing of water. To sanctify means to set apart. To wash, the washing of water, the word of God, God uses that to cleanse the body of Christ. And in that way, he honored the bride of Christ by washing the bride of Christ with the water of the word to transform us. Well, in that same way, a husband is to nurture and love his wife in that way. As a matter of fact, he goes on and talks about it as a natural kind of love, not only a sanctifying kind of love or a sacrificing kind of love, but a natural kind of love. In verse 29, it says it this way, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Then verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. He uses two words, nourish. The word nourish means to provide with food. It's from two words, to bring out and to pamper. You are to pamper your wife as one who loves sacrificially and one who loves in a natural way. And then he is to cherish his wife. That is the word that means to brood. It's like a little bird that broods their little chicks that provides a warm atmosphere. It is the word where we get to foster, to bring about growth. So husbands, we are challenged to love our wives the way Jesus Christ loves us and the way he nourishes his believers, the way he cherishes his believers. And then in verse 30, he gives an illustration of this. He says, "For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones." Well, you know that we have been grafted into the Lord. We are members. Just as branches are part of the vine, so believers are part of the whole. The branch is part of the whole. Well, guess what? When you become one flesh, you're together. You're as a team. So when you love your wife, it's like loving yourself. The scripture makes it clear. There's a little phrase that I've learned and that we've talked about in our home, my life for yours. In other words, that is really the picture of that kind of love that the husband gives to his wife, my life for yours. You're on a team, and the wife is voluntarily cooperating with the leadership of a husband, but the husband is distinct in his character because his character is challenged to love his wife like Jesus Christ loves the church. Then he gives a foundation for this. And the foundation is found in verse 31 where it says, "For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." That is a powerful scripture that is really a foundational scripture for marriage, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. And in it says that he shall be joined to his wife. That word literally means to be glued, and it emphasizes the exclusivity of the marriage covenant. In other words, one of the reasons the Bible is so adamant about a man and a woman having an exclusive relationship with no adultery, with no pornography that is robbing them of joy in their relationship, anything that would take away from the exclusivity of that marriage is a great mistake, because the marriage covenant is a gluing together of two people, two becoming one flesh. And then he tells us something about this in verse 32 that is amazing. He says in verse 32, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." When he says when he uses the word great, a great mystery, it expresses the magnitude of this. In other words, he's saying, look, there's so much more to this than just one couple becoming married. There's a picture of Christ and the church. And when it says mystery, there's something hidden. Folks, I can't even totally explain it, but there's a uniqueness about a marriage that God uses it as a picture of Christ and the church. I believe this with all my heart. Your marriage, when Jesus is Lord and the wife is voluntarily cooperating, the husband is loving like Jesus loves the church, let me tell you something. God uses your marriage as a witness for Christ. I've heard of numerous times where people that did not know Christ, they met a Christian couple who loved one another, and that non-believer watched the way they loved each other. And they ended up giving their life to Jesus Christ because they saw demonstrated in two people a sacrificial, mutual submission to the call of God upon their life in that relationship. One of the funnest things I get to do is do weddings, and when I do that, I stand there, and I've got the best view of anyone in the wedding because I'm right there with the bride and the groom. And, you know, you see the bride, and she just glows. You see her eyes and his eyes well up in tears. You see the tenderness with which they hold each other's hands and they say their vows. It's truly a mystery, but can I tell you this? The marriage relationship is an exalted state, and he says it's a mystery. There's something amazing about it. And so it is a witness for Christ. And so he goes into all of this about it, and he really wades deep in the theology of marriage, going all the way back to Genesis 2:24. But then he brings it back for the last thing. So he's reminded us of the lordship in the home a wife's voluntary cooperation, a husband's love, and then he gives one final reminder in verse 33. He says, nevertheless, in other words, in spite of all that I've said, let me just practically tell you how to understand the grace of God and how to walk in the grace of God in the home. All right? Grace in the home. He says this, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. It's very important that we see this final reminder. He says, love his wife as himself. Paul addresses every husband individually. Look at that. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular. So he's talking not to a group of people. He's addressing each one of us men individually. And he says, you are to love your wife. You are to love your wife, as it says in this passage, as himself. And so he addresses that. You're to love her as your very own self. And then it says the wife is to respect her husband. That word really means to treat with deference. It means to let him lead. Now, I have never found a wife who could not allow a husband to lead who was loving like Jesus Christ loves the church. I mean, that's a pretty tall assignment. But and it's very easy for men to lead when they have a wife who's willing to give deference to his leadership. So when it says that she respects her husband, it means to treat with deference, to let him lead. Kent Hughes tells the story of Winston Churchill being at a dinner party, and he was with many great powerful people in England. And they had finished their meal and they were coming to the dessert, and the question was asked. They said, we want to have some conversation here in the group, and so we want all of you to answer the question, if you could not be yourself, who would you want to be? Well, everybody wanted to know what Churchill would say. They said, well, I don't think he'll say Napoleon. They said, I don't think he'll say Julius Caesar. And so everybody else had answered, and Churchill was the last one. They came to Winston Churchill, and he said this. He said, if I could not be who I am, and then he reached over and took his wife Clementine by the hand. He said, if I could not be who I am, I would like to be the second husband of Lady Churchill. And so when he said that, he said a good thing. I think he did good, you know, in his relationship with Lady Churchill that night. But truly, it is an honor to be a husband who cherishes his wife in that way. And so I want to encourage you, where are you in the grace that is in your home? I want to remind you that we're reminded today the lordship of the home. We're reminded of a wife's cooperation, a husband's love, and then that final practical reminder that the husband is to love his wife as himself and that the wife is to respect her husband. But I want you to think about, where are you? You say, well, Pastor, I'm not where that passage is. Can you tell you this? I'm not where I need to be. I'm not where I need to be. But God has given us his design. This book, God's Word, is the owner's manual of how to make marriage, how to have grace in the home. And that's what we're talking about. We've come to that part of the scripture, and that's what we need to be thinking about and be convicted of. So I want to encourage you, start right where you are. I would encourage you to say to your spouse, we need Christ in the center of our home. I want you to know it all begins, though, in knowing Jesus in a personal way. Do you know Christ as your personal Savior? Do you have Jesus Christ in your life? I mentioned that I came to know Christ as a teenage boy. And everyone that meets Jesus, the circumstances are different, but there are some things that are the same. And one of the things that's the same is that we realize that we're sinners and in need of a Savior. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so we understand that. We recognize that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And we're willing to turn from our sin and trust Jesus Christ to be our personal Lord and Savior. I want to encourage you to do that. Because you cannot have grace in the home until you have grace in your own heart individually. You say, Pastor, what do I need to do? You know what I think you need to do? I would get down on your knees and I would say, Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I turn from my sin. The Bible calls that repentance. That's when we turn away from our sin. And right now, I want you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, to come into my life and be my Savior and my Lord. I give my life to you, and I give it to you for all of my life. Now, if that's the expression of your heart, I pray that you would do that. And if you do that, write me. I'd love to send you some information I think that would help you. You can write me at Pastor at Gator Church, or you can write me at the church. You can get our address on the website. Write me here, but send me an email, Pastor at Gator Church. I'd love to send you some information I think would help you. I'd like to have prayer. And then we have a testimony of a young man who is going to share with you how Jesus Christ has changed his life. And he's going to share his testimony. And then following that, there's going to be some exciting music as we close the service. Let's bow our heads and hearts for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we love you and praise you. We thank you for the life that we have in Christ. We thank you, Lord, for the challenge of this passage of Scripture. You have challenged us, Lord, today in the home. And we thank you, Lord, that we understand your grace, that we have been saved. You have given us the grace we need. You've given us your Holy Spirit. But now, Lord, you're calling us to walk it out in the crucible of life in our home and particularly in our marriage relationship. Lord, I just ask you to bless each and every person watching. And I pray for that person who needs to get down on their knees and trust Jesus Christ to be their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, I thank you for this time we've had to study your word. And we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.